Hi friends, I am Professor Ashish Hathi, taking your subject of internet marketing. We are on chapter 9, which is on online distribution channel. Friends, this will be a mix of giving you a perspective about essentially what is a distribution channel and then connecting a little bit about whether this channel is online or not and how the online channels are different than the normal brick and mortar, normal other off-site, offline channels. Marketers are concerned about two things. Experience at the point of purchase, experience at the point of sale. Point of purchase is a point of purchase is like where customers understands what is it that is available to him, etc. Point of sale is at a retail store when he goes to buy. That's a point of sale. Now, as a manufacturer, you are concerned about both the challenges. Many times in the offline, the point of purchase and point of sale is same, but point of purchase, you may go to 10 different stores, to find out more information. And then finally, when you decide, you may go to one specific store to buy your goods. So that experience versus the distribution channel, again, the challenge is product is getting transferred. So product when gets transferred, manufacturer is not in picture, it's somebody else. So there is somebody in between known as intermediaries before the goods actually reaches the hands of your consumer. So you need to be aware about both these aspects. So we will try to figure that out during our this session. Distribution channels, when you talk about composers, whether it is online, offline, consists of producer, that is you as a manufacturer, intermediary starts from right movement of your goods to warehousing your goods in the intermediary stage of reaching customers, and then finally ensuring a delivery to the consumers. And not only that, there are other intermediaries like financing companies, insurance companies, etc. They also are part of your intermediary, so-called. So that is there. Then comes the buyer. Buyer is the ultimate end consumer of your product. So these three triangular relationship needs to be understood when we talk about distribution channels. The structure of distribution channel depends on what is the marketing model that you have chosen. Off-site also, there are multiple marketing model that is available, whether you are going to be sole selling agent, whether you are going to be the authorized distributor of a car company, etc. Each will have its own implications on having your nature of channel that you go for. As against this, online also, there is a way that one can structure its online distribution channel. So one need to be really careful about both. I remember Amazon when coming in our country, initially they were hellbent on or rather they were working more with the manufacturers directly and stocking the goods in different warehouses across the country so that it can be reached. Now today, it is like they are linked with most retailers. Retailers are their partners. They are linked with most small manufacturers. They are linked with even artisans in rural areas, etc. And then they have strengthened their supply chain in such a way that goods can be picked up from the specific retailer and delivered to you. So that's the level that they have achieved. I will not be surprised that our kids will buy a goods which will be picked up from the store in the ground floor of that retail store and delivered on the seventh floor of that building. So that is an era also most likely. So friends, they have changed the way the distribution challenges came in front of them to service India. Vis-a-vis the warehousing, the distribution cost challenges, etc. They have changed. Now they directly deal with the retailer who is logged in with there. So when you search for a specific product, you also get to know that this is provided by, and then there are other retailers' names also come in. So that's what they have achieved, so-called. So this is the whole concept of distribution channel that we are trying to understand out here. So, what are the four major elements that form companies, any channel structure? Is the type of online channel intermediaries, that is, whom are you going to have as your intermediary, or what you must have, length of the online channel. So, when you decide what all you must have, your length will get determined. So, say a sole selling agent, then he gets into the wholesalers, then the wholesaler reaches to the regional distributor reaches to the retailer. So, then that's what your length, here is a four. While in online, you probably are the manufacturer. On the other end, there is a customer and there is nobody intermediary. I won't say that intermediary distributor are there. There is a logistics service provider who picks up the good and delivers to you. Online finance and all are there, which is also virtual. So they really don't constitute kind of an intermediary as a somebody who needs to be monitored by you and managed by you. Functions performed by member of the channel. So what is the function that you assign them to perform? Whether they own the goods or ownership is still on you, etc. Physical and informational system that really consists of your success factor. So how well aligned are you in terms of information exchange, goods return, payment positions, receivable, payables, etc. That all determines the key structure of your distribution channel that you choose over others. Channel intermediary. So let's first understand what is channel intermediary. I have already mentioned to you that there are intermediary people or service provider who bridge the gap between producer and the seller. So Colgate toothpaste comes to me from the manufacturing company, then it goes to the regional wholesale distributor. Wholesale distributor will provide to the regional distributor. Regional distributor will send it to the carrying and forwarding agent in the city, and then carrying and forwarding agent will send it to all the retailers, including Panwalas, where they provide the toothpaste for the sale to the consumers. Same is the case when it comes to online. What is it that you have chosen to? So say for example, Lenskart. Lenskart has a choice offered to you that you choose and select and, you know, make a payment of a frame that you want. Now they give you an option whether you would like to receive directly or you want to taste and try and then collect it from one of the brick and mortar store, which may be in your city. So that's how whole dynamics work. So I'm sure like I gave you that idea. The three basic functions performed by any intermediary are, first is a transactional aspects. So whole aspect of if it's a logistics provider, so once your order is placed, the logistics support provider should get your name, address, the product that is to be shipped, etc., where it has to be shipped, whether the payment has been made or payment is to be collected, whether you are Amazon Prime customers. If that is the case, that means it's a priority delivery, or whether you are non-prime customer. So then you have a leverage by this delivery can happen over a few days, which is not a limited or guaranteed number of days, etc. So these are all transactional aspects that they get into. Second is the actual logistics function, which is picking up the goods from the right place, supplying it to the right customer at the right time. So that's the actual logistics function that they perform by the any intermediary. And third is the facilitators, the facilitating functions. So among them, with customers, they facilitate a lot of things. Customers, the moment orders the goods, he gets a support in terms of the tracking number. He gets a support in terms of getting a real-time update. He gets an SMS coming to him that goods have been delivered today, etc. So those are the supporting functions, invoicing, their settlement, if goods gets returned. So the entire return goods, this thing has to be facilitated, and then debit or credit to the consumers, etc. So all those things are worked out, but it is all facilitating functions. So intermediary and with the producer or the online marketeer play these three role. So you need to really understand these three very critically. Channel intermediaries include who all? So wholesaler. Wholesaler are the one who buy this in bulk. You know, they buy this in bulk from the manufacturer and then they sell it to the downstream intermediary. So they may sell it to the carrying and forwarding, or they may sell it directly to the retailer. They own the goods. The ownership is already passed on from the manufacturer to the wholesaler. There are online retailers who buy a product from the manufacturers in bulk, store it in their GEDA warehouses, etc. Or they assign a wholesaler to have this product purchased. They work with the wholesaler. So wholesaler will then provide goods whenever there is an order received online. So that's how online retailer work. Nowadays, companies like Amazon, Flipkart have gone even directly to the retailer level. So that's what is the way these people work. Brokers. Brokers are the one who bring buyer and seller together. Same is the case also on the online. They bring buyer and seller together and they don't take the ownership of the goods. They don't take any other responsibility, pre-purchase, post-purchase, etc. on happening of the sale. Now, depending on the kind of relationship or kind of that online platform that you have created, you either receive commission from the buyer or you receive commission from the seller. Many times you in the online this thing, you don't receive anything, but you receive payment through the the hit rates that your site has, and therefore the advertisements, the banner advertisement support that you get from other advertisers. So there are many such sites who offer flats for sale, flats for rent, etc. Now they act as a broker. In reality, the broker collects 1%, 2% from both buyer and seller. But in this case, they say there is no brokerage to be paid. But what they earn out of is through the banner advertisements of other brands, from the right-hand panel advertisements from the other brand, etc. So it's a different revenue stream for them. But there is a broker concept. Agents usually represents either buyer or they represent the seller. So their connection is either buyer or the seller. So buyer appoints an agent so that he gets a better goods, better deal, etc. Seller appoints a channel so that he gets more buyer and he is able to sell more. They do not take also the title of the goods. They do not take any other responsibility of the ownership. But yes, there is a commission that is already decided. Agency commission is already decided with the buyer or the seller. So this is the kind of intermediaries which are present. So let's understand broker, whether company sells a product to the consumer or a service to the consumers, the broker brings them together, buyer and seller brings them together at a common marketplace. Business model here is that the brokerage model is simply one which is used to describe that they will charge you something. So as a broker, he will charge money to both buyer and the seller. Now, is it viable also on the online? That one need to see. Now, the platforms have evolved, who has done away with the brokering as a revenue stream for themselves. They depend on other revenue streams by popularizing their channel itself. They're popularizing their medium itself so that they get the different kinds of advertisement support. So that's how, or they may get into some fixed fees and etc. before starting search for you, etc. and all. So that's how the brokers platform make money. Agents, internet shopping agents are there. We have earlier discussed they allow buyers to get the best deal. So they are like an agent who work for the buyer of the goods, and they direct the link to the respective site. Now that's where they probably make money because the link enables them to get some commission. Or they themselves have the powerful platform, they can rely on revenue stream from the advertisements, etc. Pay-per-click, and from those models they can earn money. Consumers use online bots also to search. So that is also, they save the price information and they facilitate. So the bots also act as a agent for the buyer and facilitates his decision making. Online retailer is another kind of intermediary. So here now, understand that online retailing platform also acts as a intermediary. For the goods manufacturer Dabur, Amazon is an online retailing intermediary. For the goods manufacturer like a television maker, or Amazon is an intermediary. Flipkart is an intermediary, online retailing intermediary. Okay, so they deal with them, price are fixed, volume are decided, and accordingly, entire post installation logistics is decided. And they seamlessly work in a way that customer gets the experience of his lifetime. So that's the power. The online retailing offers a lot of technology advantage, their ability to get the order, their ability to transfer information to the respective manufacturer is also very fast. Walmart, as I understand, once upon a time was actually storing the goods and all. But today on a Walmart, or even Amazon, as I understand, have tied up with all these mobile manufacturers and such fast moving items in a way that they practically do not have the goods. When the goods are received, the Samsung or the iPhone agents or iPhone service provider, they only take the ownership of supplying the goods to the consumers. This is possible because within next moment they will have a flash on the screen and they will know that this order has come. Now they act on these orders, the nearest iPhone store or nearest iPhone depot is this, and then from there the goods get shipped. They will send an intimation to again Amazon supply chain that we are ready to deliver, and then the goods is picked up and delivered to the final consumers. So the technology and the interface IoT of revolution is bringing the transactional this thing so efficiently unified that various intermediaries can remotely yet efficiently function. Online retailing, the use of customer database. So with this, direct mail business and office, other success, critical success factor include, to become online successful, you have to have a strong database. You have to have strong reading ability to read the customer database, behavioral, especially in nature. Easy ordering, you must facilitate ordering very easily, and quick delivery. So quick delivery is facilitated by either becoming, making customer member at a very nominal fees, or work seamlessly with your supply chain manager, supply chain management outsource agency, to ensure that delivery happens very effectively, efficiently, within certain pre-agreed, predefined number of days, so that customer feels that he is getting what he wants within given time frame. So that's the beauty of online retailing support as an intermediary. As with the direct mail business critical success factor, we are discussing online retailing business success factor. Fourth is an operational element that the internet retail model shares. Operationally, billing to customers and relationship with the customer is the two critical factors. Billing to customer has a pre-cycle of lead conversion, etc., and then finally getting the order, and relationship is for the repeat business. Online retailer, with the power of the database, the direct mailing, the artificial intelligence, the automation, kind of marketing automation which has become possible today due to MarTech, marketing technologies that is in place, they provide these services to the various manufacturers, various producers, etc. Therefore, you tend to leverage that for your benefit and for your growing your online internet business. So that's the power that the online retailer offer to you. Many of these most successful internet retailers have been this, that have been able to successfully transfer the critical element from traditional retailing to the internet. These are the people, online retailers have enabled certain traditional way of doing business, modify them to make it more practical, more viable, more convenient for the consumers, for the buyers, and giving you a platform that enables you to exchange value proposition with your buyers. So sellers thrive, this retailer intermediary also thrive, and consumer gets what he wants at the best of the value. Distribution channel logistics function. So let's understand the distribution logistics channel function. Three distinctive logistics systems exist in this internet marketing business, internet economy, as you say. One is the DIS, intermediation, DIS intermediation. Here is a process by which unwarranted logistics is reduced. Now this is done by shortening your channel itself. So unwarranted intermediaries are also removed, and as much as possible, direct engagement happens between consumer, seller, and the logistics service provider. So Amazon has a very well set supply chain management. They can pick up the goods. So online retailer as a service provider has to take care of two things: pick up the goods from the right place, deliver it to the customer at the right place. So this intermediation really helps in this. They have removed all other intermediaries from the channel, and they reduce their logistics inefficiency and increase the their ability to deliver goods fast, pick up right goods, deliver fast within the given time frame. So that is, this intermediation is one distinct approach that one can follow. Second is intermediaries, info intermediaries. They are the one who enable you with the information. They enable you with the information means if you have no expertise, you will be lost in the information explosion. So much of information is coming your way and you don't know what to do with it and how to analyze it, etc. So you will not be able to manipulate and utilize it. So these info intermediaries are the one who feed you. If this trend is happening, this is working, this is not working. So these are the problem areas. So they try to analyze information because they have a power. They have a specialized software, they have specialized capable people with them. They do that and they feed you. So that's an info intermediaries. Second is the meta intermediaries. Meta intermediaries work with cost and related efficiencies, inefficiencies, etc. They look at transaction as a their core area. So how each transaction can be made more efficient, can be more made more cost efficient, can be made more speed efficient, etc. So they add value that way. So these are those other intermediaries. So disintermediation, the info intermediaries and meta intermediaries are the nature of intermediaries that you have in the online retailing or say online internet marketing. Now we are going to study about distribution channel metrics. This is nothing but what is B2B and what is B2C, and then relevant aspects related to the distribution channel. That is what we are going to identify out here. Challenges are same, certain issues are same, certain aspects are same. As in this, the last paragraph, it has been mentioned, both needs to do their strategy, both needs to identify who their customers are and why they need to hear from you. So that challenge, that issue or that remains always. So let's move on to see that. We talk about B2B market first. And here, one businessman sells it to the other businessman. I repeatedly give you the same example. Alternator manufacturer supplies alternator to the Crompton Greaves for use in the fan. Or the escape bearing manufacturer supplies bearings to Crompton Greaves for use in the fan. So that's a B2B market. The features are, it's a relationship driven. How good your relationships are, how long your relationships are, how professional your relationships are, maximizes value of the relationship. So better the relationship, it doesn't mean that if your prices are offline, they will still buy. Price competitiveness is always there, but the relationship will always win in time of crucial decision making. Small but focused market available to you. You know exactly where these manufacturers are, so that you can focus and concentrate your effort out there. Multi-step buying process. However, the feature is it's a multi-step longer buying cycle. Originator of the need is somebody else. Then the purchaser will find out alternatives, find out who all can supply, raise a requisition, collect quotations, etc. This has been put into the committee who will deliberate, which may have a user department, which might have a technology department. Then purchaser, then they will try and set a parameter on which the quotation needs to be evaluated. Then they evaluate and then they decide, okay, if these two pricing, which is one is higher by 10% or 5%, they will kind of negotiate and try and see. They may still give an order to the one with the 5% because technology and other aspects. At that time, relationship and all may work. Past experiences will come forward. The one with the lower price, but experience in the past have not been satisfactorily. Company do take a judgmental call to give it to the next higher party because relationship with them was very good. But it's a long drawn process. It's not like a window shopping. B2B buyer cannot do a window shopping. Business that sells to business of self. Fifth is a brand identity. So brand identity is more based on the personal person. SKF may talk a lot about their technical superiority, but if the buyer is not happy with your local representative, his knowledge, his technology understanding, your brand will suffer. Educational and awareness building activities, they need to really get into constant upgradation of their product and therefore constant feed to the buyers about what is changing in technology, why they are better, what innovations they have done, what R&D they have done, etc. So that activity they have to constantly get in, and buying decisions are rational. So either you help them to save energy, you help them to save their power, you help them to produce in less time. Those are the rational aspects of your product that the buyer will look at. So that's the B2B market. What is a distribution need in the B2B market? So logistics, so let's transportation, warehousing and distribution. This is very critical when it comes to B2B market. They not only have to transport the raw material. I am somewhere in Indore supplying alternated to Crompton Greaves, who's in Kanjurmarg. Then the Indore to Crompton Greaves, Bhandup or Kanjurmarg, there is to be a channel which will store the goods somewhere, collect from different such a small time manufacturer, all the parts, bring it to the plant, then store it at the plant after the goods are made. So all the aspects are connected. So there is a pre-production, then post-production supply. So that's a logistics relation. Application service providers, the deployment and hosting and management of the package software from a central facility. So entire IT bandwidth, entire information bandwidth is a core of the B2B market. Now B2B market can either outsource it, build their own in-house this thing, or take SaaS, as they say, which is software which is available for you to download and customize as per your need, etc. So those supports also they can take. So that's an application service provider. Outsourcing of certain functions and certain things that company need not invest in and they can outsource. So web hosting and security of the websites, customer care solutions. Company cannot look at establishing a call center themselves. So there's a call center with large manpower, all infrastructures are serving client with 2 to 5 seats also. So that's the, this is an outsourcing that they have to do. Auction solution softwares for the operations and maintenance of the real time action. So real time, now the data transfer and analysis, etc., are gaining a different perspective. So there are those automation auction solutions, etc., which offers you the real time updates on the price and the availability of the opportunity, maintenance of this entire operation on a real time basis. So that's one important aspect of B2B market distribution channel. Content management. So B2B also has to be updated every time in terms of content, because they keep changing the technology, innovations happening, why their products are better, superior, all aspects are critical aspects of their content marketing, their product support, their consulting support, how they support users in terms of maintenance, post installation, during installations, all this and other things about the company, why SKF, what is the legacy of SKF bearings, etc. So all those contents needed to be managed well. So for which you need a content management software, which could be either obtained and in-house or outsourced. Web-based commerce enablers. So there are various web-based commerce enablers. They can have their own websites, but the other support like cart, payment, etc., they can outsource. The logistics support also they can outsource, etc. Or they can have that complete web-based solution outsourced from third party. So that's what the B2B this thing is. Now we come to B2C, business to consumer market. Very product driven, looks for value. Customer always looks for value. But of course, the market is very large. It can be targeted very well. And crux of it is a single step buying process. Shorter sales cycle, decision making is faster. Window shopping is possible. Today, even a kid has a pocket money saved and he need not ask parents that this is what he wants to buy. I have so many family and friends complaining me ki yaar wo seedha jaake order kar deta hai, buy kar leta hai. I ask them money kahan se aaye. So they say ki yaar uske paas khud ke paise hai. So it's, that's the stage where we have come. So that's the B2C market. Online interesting aspects of B2C marketing is one very important aspect is that many companies have realized the importance of loyalty. In the B2C market, loyalty, the relationship based and the loyalty based sale facilitates recurring, facilitates referrals, etc. So how are you leveraging this through your own initiatives? This is something that you really cannot outsource. So that's where the company will have to invest. That's where the marketing of B2C company will have to play the role. The business buyers are sophisticated against this. And they are very rational. Against this, B2C buyers are very emotional. They take quick decisions, etc. They know what they want very well. Writing marketing copy is a complex subject in B2C. It has to have the story, it has to have emotions, etc. So that has to be also looked after. We now look at a differentiating aspect between B2B and B2C market, maybe some similarities as well. Copy must talk about sophisticated audience in case of B2B market. B2B market, the copy is been addressed to a very intellectual people. When the person, when the Crompton gives rise, writes about their motor and why their motor is being so good or a flame-proof motor, they know that the other reader on the other side is also either PhD or mechanical engineer, or he understands subjects better. In B2C, buyer is usually looking for the best price and is emotionally connected. So like you can probably influence him emotionally. There he is unable to determine about your product, this thing. Broadly, now they have, people have realized what is organic or what is, you know, chemical free, etc. Their consciousness has come, but they are still emotionally driven. They want to look beautiful, they want to look smart. So there the copy takes a different tone, there your approach takes a different tone. Both buyers are interested in quality. So B2B or B2C, they want quality. However, B2B are in a position to determine quality. B2C customers are little helpless in terms of determining the quality. They do not really taste the quality. They experience your quality. And over a period, then they determine whether your product is utilitarian for them or not utilitarian. So friends, at the end, let me quickly summarize. We were on the subject of distribution channel, especially for the online. We have understood various aspects of distribution channel. We have understood the intermediaries involved. We have also understood aspects like what does the overall distribution means producer, intermediaries, and buyers. The nature of intermediaries we have understood. We have understood transactional, logistical, and facilitating function that the intermediary has to play in any market, B2B or B2C or say brick and mortar or online marketing. So that's also we have understood. So in this chapter, you got a perspective about distribution channel and especially linked to internet marketing, what B2B distribution channel look like and what B2C distribution channel look like. Thank you.